If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 2 as we go through the book of Daniel chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The second chapter of Daniel has been called the backbone of the Bible prophecy. Daniel 2 unlocks the rest of the book of prophecies and also unlocks some of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. And so it's important that we understand this particular chapter. To study eschatology, which is the study of end time events, we need to thoroughly be familiar with not only the book of Daniel, but specifically this chapter, because it speaks of an end time event. Psychologists tell us that 90% of persons' free time, that is the time not devoted to a specific activity, is spent wondering about the past and worrying about the future. And Nebuchadnezzar was no exception to that. So let's pick it up. There'll be a lot of reading in this. This is a story, very minimal commentary. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians and the astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and they stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut to pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corruption words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who could tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldeans. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." And so, when the Chaldeans say this, they admit to true revelation comes from God down to man. It's not the achievement of man to know, but it's the revelation of God to us. When we study the scriptures, it is the Lord revealing himself to us, who he is, his character, his truths, his prophecies. This is why we need the Holy Spirit, right? Because we cannot accomplish that in the flesh. The cross is foolishness to the non-believer, but to us, it is salvation, right? It is salvation of the Lord. And so it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to understand the revelation and interpretations of the Lord. Despite all the wisdom, real or imagined, these wise men had no answer for Nebuchadnezzar, because only God could bring an answer to this king. Strauss tells us they were like some modern ministers of our own day who spend their time studying philosophy, psychiatry, psychology, social science, political science, and then continue under the pretense of being God's messengers to man. The strategy of the wise men was to convince the king that he was unreasonable, not that they were incompetent, verses 12 and 13. For this reason, the king was angry, very furious, and he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Wait a minute, how did that happen? They were wise men as well, right? And so these other guys' incompetence caused a death sentence for them. Now, the decree was not only for those who served the king, but everyone else who professed that they could serve the king as well. And so, remember, since Daniel and his friends were classified as wise men, this decree fell on them as well. Verses 14 and 16. Then the council and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went, he went in and he asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Daniel's calmness in this crisis showed what kind of man he really was. In one sense, crisis don't make the man, they reveal the man. Notice he's in a tough situation. It's life or death. Who did he put his trust in? God. God had shown him favor with the king, protected him from the king, made him wise beyond his years. Remember, he was 10 times wiser than all the other wise men that was surrounding the king. Who gets that glory? God does. And the same for you. Listen, when we find ourselves in situations, good, bad, or indifferent, everything turns to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. God is guiding. God is protecting. God is providing. He is making opportunities for each one of us to advance in this life, to grow in our faith, and listen, to affect those around us. You've heard me say that many times. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be the youngest in this room or the oldest in the room. There are people watching you. You are setting an example for those around you. I'm watching how the elders in my life respond to situations in life. I'm watching their character, their godliness, how they respond. I'm watching the younger people in my life respond to the things of the world, being in a difficult situation. Listen, he was living in enemy territory. He was a prisoner. They were taken in captivity to Babylon. And yet, God was with him. He gives us an example of how to live in the fallen world with the enemies around us, right? Because we don't know who they are. But God does. He knows the end of your life from the beginning of your life. He knows all the things that are going to happen in the middle, and he is in total control. He is sovereign. Now, we may not like and understand. I'm sure Daniel wouldn't have signed up to be a prisoner, but he went through this because God had a plan and a purpose for his life, and this was part of it. This wasn't just a stalling tactic. Daniel knew that it takes time to listen to the Lord and to wait upon the Lord. This is a big deal, right? He needs to interpret the dream. He needs to cry out to the Lord and hear what the Lord's interpretation was. And Daniel was willing to take the time if the king would grant it to him. Verses 17 and 19. Then Daniel went to the house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. That's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That they might seek mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So Christianity begins with the principle of revelation. God reveals himself to us. You know, when we came to the Lord, it wasn't, I don't know about you, but I wasn't seeking God. But he was seeking me. Yeah. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And sometimes he draws us to him in some crazy situations. I was in numerous car accidents in my career, and I was hurt many times, and I had broken my back, and I was out of work for months and months. And I had nowhere to look but up, laying on my back, right? Up to God. And God began to pour into me. But before I got saved, the Lord was drawing me, situations and circumstances, My mom would say, Ken, do you know Jesus? And I was like, Mom, I went to Mass. I'm okay. Leave me alone. I didn't have that relationship. I thought doing something made me right with God. But God was drawing me in. And then that one night, God knocked on my heart during a Wednesday night service. And it was the Lord. There was no other way to explain it. It was as if the Spirit of God just lifted me out of my seat and brought me up to surrender my life. It was that easy. And what happened was, it was the whole world of sin lifted off my shoulders. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man that knows that his sins are forgiven. Because you know it's God, right? There's no other way that anything. I was in bondage in my sin and I couldn't be set free. And God came in and broke those chains, opened up the doors, shook that foundation that I thought I was on, and set me on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. It was his drawing. So none of you are here today, none of us are here today by anything that we did. The Lord orchestrated everything that's happened into our life. And when we surrendered our life to the Lord, we may have gone through some roller coaster situations in life, but he's never left us. He's never left you. Well, I don't feel the Lord's presence. Well, draw close to him. The promise is he would draw close to you. I need more Jesus. You got as much Jesus as you need. You just need to surrender more, right? I need to become less. He need to become more. He's poured all the blessings into us. Ephesians 1 verse 3. All the blessings from the heavenly places he has poured into us, given to us. Grace, mercy, every day. Because we're his children. He loves us. And so it's the Lord revealing himself to us. It's pretty interesting. The more I talk to people, they've never really gone through a whole study of the book of Revelation. They heard about the seven churches, and that's as far as they've gone. Now, some of you have gone through detailed study, but others haven't. The Lord wants you to know everything about his word, right? From the beginning to the end, Genesis to Revelation. It's the revealing of God. What we know about God is what he has revealed to us. We do activity. We actively seek him, but we seek what he has revealed to us. So there's some things that we have no understanding. I don't know it all. I mean, if you know it all, come on up here. I'll give you the mic. We don't, right? We know what God's revealed to us. Some of us may be more educated in some areas or not. There's some things in Revelation we don't know what they're talking about. They couldn't explain it. There wasn't a language because it was something they've never seen before. It's like explaining the color red to somebody who's blind. How can they comprehend that? So there are some things in Scripture we don't know. Daniel was told to seal this up until the end times, and that knowledge would increase in the end times. So those people who are living in the end times will have a better understanding of what he's talking about. And who is that? Us, the church age, right now. Absolutely amazing. The things that are happening around us that have happened, we'll talk a little more in detail. Our job isn't to figure things out about God, but to understand what he has revealed to us. The more I seek and search, because he says if you ask, it'll be answered. If you knock, it'll be open to you. If you seek, you will find. Well, there's an effort in all of that, right? It takes us to study the Lord's word. It takes us to read verses 20-23. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God, my Father. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. And so Daniel here, he's grateful that God has revealed it, this great wisdom and this knowledge to him. It's been said that our level of faith is often indicated by how long it takes us to start praising the Lord. If we won't praise him until the answer is in Him, perhaps we don't have that faith in Him at all, right? We believe. He says, if you ask, you will receive. Sometimes we ask and we don't receive because it wasn't part of His will, but we have that belief in Him. And so the first thing we should do is praise the Lord in all things. Why? Because God is on our side and we are on His side. God is not mad at us. Romans 5, we have peace with our Maker. We have access to His throne. He has covered us in His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's called a love relationship. That's the father and son, father and daughter relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. He's not mad at us. I used to think as a young boy that God was mad at us. And Jesus had to convince Him to love us, so He went to the cross. I mean, as a young boy, this is what you think. You think some crazy things, right? And then I thought that you had to pray to Mary to convince Jesus to tell the Father. As a young boy, this is what I thought. But God so loved us. And that means Jesus too. That He died for us. He gave His all so that we could be with Him forever. And so that thanksgiving starts now in our heart. What do we notice or don't we see in Daniel in this situation? We don't hear him complaining, right? We don't hear him worried or concerned about anything around him. Why? Because the Lord has shown him favor and he recognizes that. Listen, we are born, we have been born and we live in a paradise on earth. Nowhere else on earth, other than North America, do people have this peace as they live. Now, I'm not saying everything's great. And there's more beautiful places. There's beautiful places, but there's tribes and Indians, and there's wars and civil wars, and those things happening. We live in paradise here. If you've never been out of the country, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But everybody doesn't live this way. They don't have clean water. We go into the refrigerator, we get ice, it's cold, ice water, right? And we can get ice, and you get crushed ice if you press this button, right? This is where we live. It's a paradise. If you went on the other side of the world and spoke to somebody in either Haiti or South Sudan and told them there's this place where you can get all the food you want, you've heard me say this before, it's just another reminder. You can get any kind of meat, any kind of drink you want, and it's open all the time. You can go any day of the week. It's a place called Publix. They wouldn't believe you. Because they don't have any idea how much we've been blessed. And I think if we live in that thankfulness to God, no matter what happens, we will be a joyful people like we're supposed to be, right? This man is in captivity. And yet he's showing character, grace, and poise that affects those around us. Don't forget, he has friends with him. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So let's now look at Daniel explains his dream in verse 24 through 30. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king, and he said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king's answer and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. This is prophecy, what will happen in the future. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. Now he begins to explain. As you, O king, thought, came to your mind while you were in bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me, because I have a more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known to the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Once again, the first of all, he makes note that Daniel does not take personal credit for the interpretations of the dream. King says, I understand you can make known to me the dream and its interpretation. And Daniel says, look, the wise men, the astrologers, none of them can do it. But there is a God in heaven who reveals things. This is a Jew. Daniel is a Jew who has been taken into captivity. And his life is supposed to make the Gentiles' life as a Jew give God glory. The nation of Israel had failed to do that, but today it has been turned over to the Gentiles for a season that people are to look at our lives and we're to give God glory. Look what God has done in my life. I am no longer bound in my sin. I have control over my life. God has blessed me and I have found favor with God and man. Every one of us in here can say that. It doesn't mean life's easy. It doesn't mean things aren't difficult around you, but in comparison, you live in a paradise. We can come here tonight in cushioned seats in an air-conditioned building, and we don't have to worry about the troops coming in or anybody coming in here and dragging us out and arrest us. Go to YouTube. You'll see all this kinds of stuff happening. Daniel does not take the credit. This is huge. If God has gifted you, praise the Lord. If God has gifted you with a voice, praise God for that voice. He's given you that voice to praise the Lord. If he's gifted you with money, praise the Lord. That money is to support the ministry. If he's gifted you with teaching, praise the Lord. Teach them the things of the Lord. If he's gifted you with hospitality, you can change people's life with a smile and a handshake and a good morning and how you doing today? Good to see you. I think that this is something that if you're in ministry, it's very important to note this particular aspect of Daniel. There was not about to take the credit for what God has done. He immediately points to God as the source and he gives credit to God. He does not let the king give him credit or even give him honor, but he points once again to the Lord. The Holy Spirit points to who? Jesus. And Jesus points to the Father. And we point to Jesus and the Father, right? So we're glorifying others than ourselves, right? He doesn't take the credit. Secondly, the dream is for later days. This is prophecy. So it's a dream that has prophetic significance, the things that are going to come to pass here on earth. Now, what's interesting is we can look back now. We're in the New Testament, right? These things happened, all of them except one. That is going to happen. And that's pretty cool, right? He said it, and it's going to happen, just as he said. So the Lord tells us that he's coming back to judge those who did not believe in him and to destroy this earth. Guess what? That's exactly what he's going to do. But he also said that you would be with him forever in paradise if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So the promises of God are true. Verse 31 and 35. You, O king, were watching, and behold, and this is the dream, a great image, this great image whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of gold, fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, and its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Wow, that's awesome. Daniel's description is clear. If we can get that on the board there, Ron. This is a massive and spectacular image made of different materials. This is what he saw. Fine gold, silver, bronze, iron, part of iron, and partly of clay. So what does this mean? Well, the materials descend in value from the top with gold at the top and iron mixed with clay at the bottom. So it descends in value. It broke them to pieces. This particular image is destroyed by a stone made without hands. And what remains is blown away like worthless chaff, while the stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So let me continue to read. Verse 36 through 45. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation. So he told him what the dream was. We just read it. Now he's telling him what the interpretation is. You, O king, verse 37, are king of kings, for the God of heavens has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the heavens, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all, and you are this head of gold. So he explains who the head of gold is. This is Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the earth, and a fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks into pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break into pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Underline that if you have your own Bible. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces of iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after these things. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Just as God said. How many of you have studied this before and know what we're talking about? This great image, the head of gold, representing the Babylonian Empire, the first world dominating empire, which was to be replaced by an inferior empire. So the fulfillment of the prophecy in history. Three dominating empires came after Babylon, the Medo-Persian. So the Babylonians were in charge. Then the Medo-Persians were in charge. Then the Grecians were in charge, Greek. And then Rome was in charge. This is the time of Christ when they ruled, right? Okay, so who was the bottom? That hasn't happened yet. That's what will happen. And it will happen soon in the end times. As we talk about these things, Babylon was the head of gold, was absolutely powerful. Persia, Greece, and then Rome. It went down into inferior metals. Speaking of inferior kingdoms. This is the world. This is what happened. And so when we speak of 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was no word from God. There was no prophet. What was going on? Well, this is what was going on. Power. 500 years before Christ came, Zechariah says he's going to ride under the donkey on Palm Sunday. We talked about that last week. 520 years before it ever happened. How could that happen? Because God knows the beginning and the end, right? He writes history. And so for that 400 years was passing, the empires had changed. This is how Isaiah can say he will be hung and crucified on a cross, paraphrasing, that he will be hung on a tree for the sins of men. Crucifixion hadn't been invented yet. It wasn't invented until Rome. God is sovereign. God is in control. All of these things had happened. Daniel had no idea what he was telling him, right? But we, this side of the New Testament, is so awesome to look back and say, how could this not be true? How could God not be real? You know, as a policeman, when you show up to a scene of a crime, you don't worry about what you don't have, right? Oh, I don't have this, and I don't have... You look at what you do have. What evidence is there that will lead you to the truth? And the same thing with the Word of God. What do we have? We have unbelievable things that have happened in history that have been documented, not just in the Scriptures, but in the history of the world. These things occurred. And so we see here the interpretation this way because they believed it wasn't possible. So a lot of people believe that, oh, it's not possible for Rome to rise up again, but yet it speaks of Rome as iron over here and then iron again here. So Roman rule. Now listen, the Roman Empire at the time of the New Testament, when we're talking about 27 BC, covered a significant amount of area in the Middle East, was under Roman rule, but it's spoken of as iron. So Chuck Smith says, the Bible scholars for years have been looking for a confederacy of European nations, because it speaks about the 10 toes. These are 10 nations that will come together in the end time up against Israel. They're looking for this confederation that they'll be under one world order, but actually there'll be a federation of 10 nations that will rule all. It won't be one world order. It's spoken of that. And because the 10 toes are part iron, the nations that become or join together will be related to the Roman Empire or nations that were involved in the Roman Empire. But because there's also a mixture of clay, so that you have a democracy among them, the nations having equal powers, it'll be like a confederacy. It won't be a one world order. There won't be one nation ruling, but it'll be the 10 nations that rule that will come up against God's people. This will happen. So that we Bible students have been watching Europe develop and these 10 nations coming together. It hasn't been that very long where Greece signed into the European Confederacy. And so we have the 10 nations that already exist today that we believe will be these 10 nations that are spoken about in Daniel's prophecy. It's right before our eyes. God spoke, and it happened. This rock that's mountain, this rock carved out of the mountain, not by hands, is Jesus. He is the rock who's going to come and destroy them. So he's speaking of this. The rock's going to come and destroy these nations. Where are we going to be as believers? We're going to be with him, right? When he comes back to earth, this is when this happens. He destroys all these nations. This is what you talk about, the Battle of Armageddon. Pretty cool. And so this unfolds when we get into Revelation, we see these things happening. This is very important that we understand this dream. This is what he's talking about. So when this was written, and when Daniel declared this to Nebuchadnezzar, none of this happened. He was still the golden head. 600 years before Christ. And then all these things began to happen. It's amazing. Because we could have been born like right around here and not seen all this stuff happen. We could have been born right here and not realize what they were talking about, because Daniel didn't know. But in the end times, the knowledge will increase, and so we now understand and now we see what will be happening. So then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present any offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods. This is what we want people to look at our lives and say, your God is the God of gods. If he could change you, he could change anybody, right? If he could change me, he could change anybody. If he can give you peace in the midst of the storm, man, he could give me peace in the midst of the storm. If he can set you free from addictions, he can set me free from addictions. If he can cause me to love when I didn't know how to love, man, he can do anything, right? With God, all things are possible. And this is what's supposed to happen. The world is supposed to look at our life. Hey, what happened to you, man? You're not the same person you used to be. Used to be a rock and roller party in Andrew. What happened to you? Ah, I found Jesus. Jesus changed my life. I told you the story. There's some new faces in here. I was at the range, shooting range at work one time, and there was a deputy I hadn't seen in many, many years. And all of a sudden, I see him there, and he says, hey, Kerrigan, I heard you're one of those Bible thumpers. And there's like 30 cops around. They're all like, they're all laughing. Like, I'm standing there, man, around all these guys. And he says, what happened to you? And here's what I said. I don't know. I read the word, and it changed my life. He goes, oh, that's cool. I was ready for this big old fight to happen, right? Oh, I'd have to defend myself. And oh, that's cool. God changes you. And people see that. And what I have found in my life is people that I haven't seen in so long remember this. And when things go bad in their life, who do you think they call? They call you. They come looking for you. Hey, listen, this is what's going on in my life. Why? Why are they coming to you? Because they see the change in you. They see the change in your life. And who could have done that? You couldn't do it. I couldn't get myself out of the pit I was in. Only God can do that, right? You can't set yourself free. If we could set ourselves free, Jesus didn't have to come, right? If we could save ourselves, listen, not only if we could save ourselves, Jesus didn't have to come, but we can't hold on to that salvation by ourselves either. It's Christ in me. He will present me to the Father. His Spirit is a seal and guarantee of my life. It's not that he saved me. All right, God, I'm taking over now. I'll take it from here. Right? Let me help you out. He's going to take us from the beginning to the end. That new birth, he's going to present us to the Father. And so I love this story here. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets. Since you could reveal the secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrators over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so he has been shown honor. The Lord is with him. He's trusted in the Lord. He was seeking the Lord in a situation that he didn't himself have the answer to. He couldn't provide the interpretation of the dream. And even after he said it, he didn't know what this means because he didn't live it. He couldn't understand that. But now us in the end times, we have an understanding. Listen, before 1948, the nation of Israel. Who? They're Jews. They don't have a nation. Now they have a nation. These 10 European nations, who are they? Boom, we got them. They're here. They're all signed up. So things have happened, and they happened pretty fast. Jesus is coming. He's going to rapture the church out of here. But listen, be excited and look up to the heavens because he's coming. But listen, we got work to do. There's people that don't know the Lord. I want to go over some characteristics of his character because we have some time. It is very important for us to understand. Does the private life of a Christian truly impact his or her public life? Absolutely. Absolutely. It will impact you. No question about it. Daniel illustrates why character plays such a vital role in our lives. It's not just what you say, but it's what you do. Daniel could have tried merely to survive his experience in captivity in a foreign land. Instead, he never left his disciplined life and his character, his personal commitment to God, right? What was the first thing he did? He didn't want to defile himself. And so he asked, he trusted in the Lord to make provisions for him. And God provided for him, right? Ponder the character he displayed during the times testing under the kings of Babylon. Number one, his diet. He wouldn't compromise on ritual unclean food, but he ate only vegetables. He could have had it all, right? He could have had it all. Number two, his motives. He didn't take credit for interpreting the dream, but he glorified God instead. These are characters of this man. His honesty. He spoke the truth to authorities regardless of its unpopularity. Listen, he could have told the king anything. How would have the king have known? He was honest. He disciplined. He continued praying daily, even though it might cost him his life. His integrity. He had no interest in bribes or payoffs. His convictions. He stayed committed to his friends and believed even as he rose through the ranks. And so, we all need to know these following characteristics. Number one, character is more than talk. If you're taking notes, please write these down. Character, because you could teach these to other people. Character is more than talk. Anyone can say that he has integrity, but your actions is the real indicator of your character. Your character determines who you are and what you do. And that's why you can never separate a leader or a Christian's character from his actions. You can't say one thing and do another. Now, I'm not saying that you've slipped in a time of weakness and you've sinned and you've repented and you set that aside. But your life characteristics need to be solid. The character is more than talk. Number two, talent is a gift, but character is a choice. We choose to do the right things in our life as believers. We choose. I will no longer go here. I will no longer do this. Why? Because I don't want to defile myself. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. We have no control over a lot of things in life. We don't get to choose our parents or the circumstances of our birth or upbringing, but we do choose our character. We create it each time we make choices. Did you hear that? We create and cultivate our character each time that we make choices. So God's given us his word and his instructions so we know what choices to make, right? We know what to do in our life. Number three, character brings lasting success with people. True character always involves others. Followers do not trust people whose character they know to be flawed, and they will not continue to follow them. Listen, you can fool some people some of the times, but you can't fool all the people all the times. You can fool somebody and fake your Christianity for a little while, but it's not going to last. Somebody will know. It's funny that there are people who are liars, and they struggle with lying, and they think that you don't know they're lying. They think they're fooling you, but you know. Like, how many times as a kid you tell your mom a lie? She knows, right? Don't say nothing over there. Right? Your kids say something, they know you're lying. Same thing with people. Sometimes they think they got you fooled, but they're deceived. Why? Well, the Lord gives you wisdom. The Lord gives you insight. The Lord gives you understanding, just like he did Daniel here, and we know. And here's the thing, God doesn't want you to continue in that. So there's two parts to a lie, one who tells a lie and the one who receives the lie. If you accept that lie, then you're being part of that person's being a sinner. You want, as a believer, you want them to change, right? You want them to turn from that sin, from any sin. And finally, number four, leaders cannot rise above the limitations of their character. Character will either limit or support you, depending on its strength. It will always determine whether or how good you finish, whether you finish well, your character. Because your character is going to drive you. And if your character is flawed, listen, today's the day to go before the Lord and have him straighten you out. It's been said that a crooked twig grows into a bent tree. If it's never straightened out, it'll always be that way. So if that's the character of someone's life, we We want to change, and that comes with asking the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be the same person I was in the flesh. I want to be renewed in my spirit. I want to walk by your power. I want to influence people around me. Why? People are watching. And I want people to look at my life and your life and give God glory. Your God is the God of heaven and earth, for sure, right? Your God is the true God, as Nebuchadnezzar says to Daniel. Your God is the God of gods. Why? Look what he's done. We all have testimonies about what the Lord has done. Don't forget those testimonies. Live those testimonies. Be that living miracle that God has done in your life. He has transformed and changed us. And he's still doing it today. He's not finished. He is sanctifying us each and every day if we let him. We can stay the same miserable person we were, or we can walk in joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, right? We can look at the good things in life, or we can look at the thorns and the roses, right? And miss the beauty of the rose. Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. We just pray that as you reveal truth to us, that we would walk and give you glory, and that people would be influenced by our life, by our character, and by the things that we do, not just the things that we say. Lord, we pray for your strength in each one of us, that you would strengthen our walk, our character, Lord, our commitment, our desire to know you more. And that as you begin to change us into the image of your Son, that we would give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.